We're all set now for an interview with Jadel Cavillin. She is with me on the phone. Thank you, Jadel, for being here this and many other times. Yes. So let's see. I don't even remember when we talked last, but I know it's been a while. And I know that you have stuff to tell us pretty much every season. Well, first question is, you know, we know the lack of snow has made for really dry conditions. What does that look like for you right now? Like, can you tell how dry your particular area is right now? Are there signs of that?
Oh, gosh. I mean, overall, not necessarily. We still have some moisture coming out of the soil. The soil's still pretty frozen in places, but certainly just even in my high tunnel, the only difference that I've really noticed is that normally this time of year, we have a lot of standing water as things are melting. And of course, we don't have that this year. So
yeah,
it's going to be a scramble trying to make sure everything is irrigated well this year again, I think.
Right. And then do you, I know there's a lot of clay in the soil. Do you have clay soil or do you not have that? Because doesn't that also sort of lead to just poor moisture content?
Yeah, so clay has some great properties, but yep, the trouble with it is so it has really great moisture holding capacity, sometimes too much for what our plants really like. But once it dries out, that's where we get really tricky with it because it is obviously hard as a rock when it dries out and yeah, our roots, our plant roots really hate that. So that's where amending your soil is really important. And yeah, certainly it's important for all types of soil, but definitely clay, adding compost to your soil, or certainly if you have, you know, leaf or straw around, keeping that on top of your garden beds is really helpful because that will help prevent the soil from drying out as fast. And especially with the winds that we have these days, it doesn't take long for that moisture to evaporate out of the soil, especially when it's exposed. So
yeah,
keep that soil mulched. Don't clean your gardens up yet. If you've already started, get that soil covered if you can.
Okay, that's good advice. And then how much, even if we get rain or snow now, how much is going to be lost simply from having no snow over the winter?
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, I don't remember the actual statistics that I read, but we are certainly behind in what we need. And I think just recently in one of the weather reports, I had heard that we, just for the year so far, 2024, we're already way behind as far as we haven't had any real snow or, you know, rain, snow, mix, anything. And so, yeah, I feel for the trees and the things that really appreciate a good spring drink. And so, yeah, it certainly could lead to less production overall and flowering and fruiting plants. And certainly, you know, when they don't have the water they need, they're just not going to grow as fast.
Yeah. Do you have a good irrigation system so that you're confident, you know, your plants will get watered? I know that I've talked to other farmers who say, you know, it provides a little bit, but it's not like having actual rain moisture. But I mean, how set are you for a drought if it does, you know, follow through into the summer?
Yeah, so even in the last few years that we've had these drought periods, we water exclusively from our well when we don't have rainwater. We do have large rain barrels to collect, and we water from that as much as we can. But certainly in the last couple of few years, I've run into trouble with that. Last year, we didn't have any rain in those rain barrels until, you know, end of July, August.
Uh-huh.
So it becomes a point of rationing. I certainly wasn't watering things every single day by any means and was rotating between what I was watering. And that's where I really will be an advocate for native plants and interplanting those into your gardens, because native plants can help sequester a lot of that moisture into the soil. They have nice deep root structures to break up that clay soil if that's what you're dealing with. But also, they really do have a great holding capacity to keep that moisture in the, you know, the soil ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly having more of those in your gardens. In fact, one of my field gardens has basically turned into mostly a native plant garden because I've just continued to interplant in it. And I was very grateful for that last year because I actually didn't water that space hardly at all.
Hmm.
And I still had plenty of beautiful flowers growing in it. And that was a really nice circumstance considering we don't want to drain our well trying to keep things irrigated.
Right. Sounds like you've put a lot of thought into this anyway, and it probably is a little bit anxiety producing. But let's move on to sort of the happier side of things. Have you bought seeds, and do you have stuff growing yet in hoop houses, or how's it going?
Yeah, we definitely have stuff growing. I usually get a jump start because we do utilize plants doing garden installs, and then of course planting our own. And we also have a high tunnel structure, so we get a jump start on the season anyways. But yeah, in fact, I was just sowing pepper seeds this morning when you called. So, but yeah, we have a little setup in one of our attached garages so that I can get growing early. And these last beautiful weather days that we've been able to have, I've had plants out in the greenhouse getting some real sunlight, which they've really appreciated. And yeah, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, always. I'm sure March is just completely ready to go. But usually you got to kind of hold off, you know, even though it might seem at times like it's completely ready to plant. But I'm sure you're not going to plant in the actual ground for a while, even if it seems quite warm. Is that safe to say?
Yes, absolutely. And that's what's, you know, it's tricky with Minnesota. And I just saw somebody write something in regards to playing frost chicken. And I thought that was really hilarious because I, of course, as a gardener, have experienced it myself where you do get eager and you get going in some of these early seeming springs. And then lo and behold, we have a frost on the 1st of June or something.
Uh-huh.
And so
right.
My advice to everyone, and this is the advice as well from our Lake County Volunteer Extension Master Gardeners, we need to be patient and know that our average last frost date, even still to this day, is actually June 10th for this area. So
yeah.
Be prepared to cover your plants if you go, you know, greenhouse shopping on Memorial Day or, you know, the 1st of June, and just
Well, I'm just thinking it's way before that even. I mean, you know, normally we might be having this conversation in April, but we just do need to remember it's only mid-March, and yet it's such a warm March that it, you know, it's a little disorienting, I guess.
Yeah, that's the other thing, of course, that I mentioned, the cleaning up your gardens, and really what we want to wait for as far as cleaning up your gardens, because there's a lot of really beneficial insects, and also, again, that leaf litter or debris that's fallen over the course of the winter is actually providing some insulation for your perennial plants. And so you want to wait until we have a consistent 50 degrees, and that's overnight as well as during the day, before you start cleaning up your gardens.
Okay.
And that's typically for us around here.
Yeah.
So just be patient and know that it's going to happen no matter what. And we really do still have a chance of some snowstorms and such, you know. And so,
yeah,
start stuff in your garage. This is a great time of year to give your hand at seed starting. You can start things like onions, leeks, celery. Any of those things take a really long time to get going. So those are something you can try your hand at inside if you're interested in playing in the dirt right now.
Good advice. Yeah, do things that take a long time rather than doing it later and always being anxious to throw it out there prematurely. Such a good idea. Jadelle, I've been talking on the radio about maple syruping. Do you have any idea? Are you have the pulse on any syruping happening in the region? Is it? I know there is stuff happening, but you know, is it? Do we have any ideas how it's going?
Yeah, actually, I was on a meeting last night for our tree growing project, and Cree is a great leader in that group as well.
Yes.
Cree and Jason with Never Summer Sugarbush Maple Syrup. They have been syruping like crazy and way early this year. So yeah, it's definitely happening. She didn't really elaborate on how great the flow is going, but it sounded to me like it's going pretty well, that they are busy as can be right now.
Oh, that is really good news, you know, because it just is so variable. And I thought possibly it wouldn't do anything. And now with colder temperatures coming in, you know, maybe it'll just go and go and go and go.
Yeah, that's what we're wondering too. Yeah, yeah. We'll see what happens. Fingers crossed. And that's the thing too. I kind of feel for them. And any people that work with nature, we have a long season ahead of us when it starts early.
So. Right. You know, one thing I was wondering, this is probably a little far-fetched and simplistic, and you may not have any idea, but I was actually wondering if the trees will reluctantly give up syrup on seasons like this because it's moisture. I mean, it's sort of like, I mean, I'm thinking if my body is dehydrated, you know, do I want to drain it? Do you know if that's a factor?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Certainly when, and so it can actually go two different ways in the plant world, and I'm sure several more. The two that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
Under stressors, they can just really ramp up their production and just, you know, and that usually is more in the reproductive factor. So producing fruit and seeds, they'll really just ramp up because they think this could potentially be the end and we got to get our genes out there.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. But in the other case as well is, yes, they can totally slow production down and save their energy. And so, yeah, it kind of depends on the plant and what the environmental factors are that the plant's in. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Everything that I'm reading that's coming down the pipeline through the Volunteer Extension Master Gardener chain is that we shouldn't be too worried because we certainly have had winters like this in the past. Not a ton, but they've happened.
Yeah.
And our plants are pretty, pretty great at handling things. And so hopefully it's just a minor stressor in the long-term range of things. The scary part is that obviously they're facing more and more stressors piled on top of each other all the time. And sooner or later, just like with our own bodies, the more you stress yourself out, you know, if you're missing sleep, you're missing eating, what happens? You get sick. And so that's what we're worried about. We want to make sure that we can somehow do whatever we can to mitigate, you know, all of these stress factors piled up at once.
Right. Right. And then I know we just heard recently about the emerald ash borer, and it's really going to be wreaking havoc, I believe, this year, especially because of the lack of cold. Are you part of a tree seedling program? Are you growing trees?
Yeah, so I'm part of the Forest Assisted Migration Project that is run in a partnership between UMD, the Nature Conservancy, RSDP, which is a big, long organization that's associated with University Extension. But yes, we grow several different varieties of tree species with the objective that the seeds we get are coming from one zone warmer than us, so a little bit further south.
Okay.
As they are climate-forward tree seedlings. So the objective is that these seeds coming from a zone warmer than us are performing better in our forests than our own tree seedlings. Because they can handle the changes that are happening within our situation. And what's happening up here, what's been proven through quite a long time of research already, that our falls are extending and they're warmer. And so our normal trees, our native trees up here, are used to being done with leaf out. Typically, you know, August, September, we get a frost, and so they start turning and they're done producing food for the trees, where these trees from a little bit warmer environment are leafed out longer and therefore still producing and eating and feeding on carbon. And so they are showing better longevity, and they're showing just help in keeping our forest healthy with the species that we want up here. And so we're still growing native species. There are a couple that aren't as prevalent, but certainly showing that they are moving this direction anyways. And so, yeah, the goal is to work. So the the whole forest-assisted solution is that our trees up here aren't adapting to the climate change as fast as they need to.
Yeah.
And so by bringing seedlings from a warmer climate, we're helping assist that evolution of what our forests are going to be if things continue in the pattern that they are with the changing seasons, the changing climate.
Right. Give us a couple examples of some new species coming to the area, and how many seedlings are you personally planting? Like, how many are we talking?
Yeah, so this year my goal is to do 3,000. In the past years, they're small, so it sounds like a lot, but it's actually just a minuscule amount in the big scheme of things. But with the project altogether, so we did form a co-op this past year, and so we are looking for growers that are interested in getting involved. And if you are, you can reach out to me, or just check out our Climate Forward website, just climateforwardtrees.com. The growers, right now we have just about 20 growers interested, but our goal is to get 100 growers growing 10,000 trees to reach a million tree goal, which the Nature Conservancy purchases and plants in our Minnesota forests every year. And so if we can get growers in Minnesota doing that, it's also helping the whole solution of, well, right now they're transporting trees from other places to plant in our forests. We don't have big enough Minnesota state nurseries,
right,
to fulfill the Nature Conservancy's order. And so anyways, so yep, our goal is to do 3,000. In the past, and still even this year, we've done white pine, we do yellow birch, cedar, and now we've added red oak to our growing.
Okay. Variety.
There's been a push for doing more oak and overall more deciduous trees. Models are forecasting that our coniferous forests are probably not going to last if things don't change. So,
and that includes even the white pine. I thought white pine were doing pretty well relatively.
Yep.
But
white pine and white cedar are the only two conifers that our group is working on growing, because those are the ones that are showing the most
resiliency,
the most longevity.
Okay. Yeah.
As far as it through whatever lies ahead. So, yep, we are doing those two. The trick with growing conifers that we've all had a hard learning curve with is that they take a long time.
Okay.
And so yeah, we grow in trays of containers, they're called. And so they're just extra long seed cells, basically. And we grow for a full year, and then we package them up in the spring and deliver them to the Nature Conservancy, and off to the forest they go. And there is ongoing research with this project, so they're keeping track of even some of the growers' trees that get planted in the forest right now to see, you know, if this really is continuing the cycle the way we want it. So,
yep. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Jadel. That's a lot of information and a lot of work that you're doing on different levels. I think it's really amazing that the farmers in Minnesota are really getting hooked into the tree planting. You know, who best to plant all our trees than the farmers? So I just think that's a really neat project, and we'll just keep posted on it as the months and years go by. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll have you again.
Yes, thanks for having me, Katya. Have a great day.
Yep, you bet. Bye-bye. That was Jadel Cavillin, a master gardener and grower in right off the Waldo Road, within 5 minutes of downtown Two Harbors.